Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here's the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble co-host, Crispy. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. This is your humble host, Brilliant Ideas, and it looks like I am sidekickless again this week. No sign of my buddy Crispy. So anybody out there who may know his whereabouts, send out the search party, send out the hound dogs. I don't know where my sidekick is. So you've got me, Brilliant Ideas, so it'll just be the bad boy of Foodie Radio. And we'd like to welcome everyone to the show this morning, where we're going to have lots of fun. We've got Kitty Cat coming on to talk about sinful desserts. We're going to be talking about wine, most wanted wine. And also we've got a great country music singer from Nashville coming on later on today. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for everyone's support. Through the months that we've been doing this, each week we get better and better results from listeners, and our numbers keep going up, and we appreciate everyone's support. We also appreciate the support we get from our sponsors. One sponsor who's been with us now for 3 months, as if you have all been listening to the show for the last 3 months, you know them as High Roller Vodka. High Roller Vodka is actually a sweet potato vodka that they make in Northern California using California sweet potatoes. So I'm going to play their ad again, and we'll be back here in a couple seconds. Let's go check out High Roller Vodka.
High Roller Vodka is the world's first and only premium vodka made from sweet potatoes. In 2011, High Roller Vodka won the Double Gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. High Roller Vodka is made with carefully selected California-grown sweet potatoes distilled by hand in a process which creates a sophisticated, unique, elegant, smooth vodka. Life's a gamble. Your vodka shouldn't be. For more information, check out www.highrollerspirits.com.
Yes, check out highrollerspirits.com. You'll like the sweet potato vodka. I can speak from experience. It is good. And I want to also mention to everyone, we have two new sponsors starting this week. We'll be playing their ads starting this week later on in the show. And if anyone out there who is interested in being part of the show as a sponsor or a guest, all you have to do is contact me through email at Brilliant Ideas. I got the wrong address. It's brilliantideas@earthlink.net, or you can contact me through Facebook, either through the Brilliant Ideas Facebook page or the Brilliant Ideas radio page. We are always looking for talented people in the foodie world, and also if you can sing, dance, or play the banjo or something, we're always looking for musical talent. So give me a ring and see if we can get you on the show. This show's turned out to be good for a lot of people on Facebook. Gives them a chance to talk about their products, talk about their different ideas they have in the food industry. We've talked to chefs. We've talked to all kinds of different food products. And giving everybody the opportunity to come on and get their maybe 15 or 20 minutes of fame. And it's been a lot of fun. And, of course, each month we have our Sinful Desserts lady. Those of you who know her on Facebook, Katarina Borg, and we call her Kitty Cat. And she's coming on this morning to talk to us about some more Sinful Desserts. I got to play her intro, so hang tight. Let's play her intro, then bring her on.
Introducing Sinful Saturdays with Kitty Cat, your queen of sweets.
And there you go. Good morning, Kitty Cat. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
So
I love your
crispy
intro.
Yes, I do too. Yes. But you know, I always feel like I'm going to spit up a hairball every time I hear that. But, you know, maybe it's just me. I don't know. So you're crispy-less this morning.
Yes, I'm crispy-less for 2 weeks in a row. I think Mr. Crispy's got the doldrums, and we're going to have to go shake him up. Somebody needs to send the search party to Florida because I need my sidekick because I have no one to throw under the bus. I guess you're the one I'm going to throw under the bus for the first half hour.
Great. Well, you know, I don't know about sending out the search party. I think really what would do it is, you know, if I pull out my whip and go hunting for him, I think, I think that would work for sure. What do you think?
Yeah, can you do that? Can you snap your whip and see if you can get him back on the show and maybe lure him in a little bit?
I think that would definitely do it. Yeah. I think that would definitely do it. And then he'd be crispier than ever then, you know.
Yes, he would.
Oh, we've got some really great stuff to talk about today. Are you ready?
I'm very ready.
Have you got your big shorts on today?
Actually, I've got my Speedos on.
Well, I was hoping you'd have the ones with the really big stretchy band because these desserts are definitely not diet food, but something that is so delicious. And I've got three, actually, that I'm going to be talking about.
Okay.
The first one is an international Aussie delight, and it's a dessert called pavlova. Have you ever heard of it?
That sounds like that, like the stuff you give babies. Is that called pavlova? What's that called? That's called pavlova.
Oh, I don't even want to know.
Okay, so what is, I know I'm not a man of the world, but what is that, how you say it again, pavlova?
Well, we've got to change that. You know, we really need to work on your culture a little bit, I think.
Yes,
so
yes,
let's start with the pavlova. That's a good starting point.
Okay, pavlova.
Pavlova, it's named after an Australian ballerina. No, she's not Australian. She was a Russian ballerina who visited Australia in the 20s. And for those of you that don't know, I grew up in Australia. I was actually born in Brazil and grew up in Melbourne. And my family moved here in the mid-70s, and we've been here ever since. But my Aussie friends love meringue desserts. And growing up, we had tons of meringue desserts on the dessert table at all times. And the pavlova is a dessert that they eat all the time for absolutely every occasion. And what it is, it's a little bit more unique. Americans aren't really big on meringue desserts, but Aussies are. And they'll create just about anything around a meringue dessert. Well, this one is really, really crispy on the outside, and then it's really soft and marshmallowy on the inside. And
okay.
Very easy to make. I'm going to put up the recipe up in the blog later today. But I've got a photograph up on my wall now, and there's lots of comments coming in about it. Some people know what it is. Some people don't. And I love to always do things that, you know, that teach people a little bit more about kind of what's out there and what other people are eating, which is, I think, kind of an educational thing instead of talking about the same old, same old. So
that's right.
You can make individual – that's right. Of course, international flavor today. So you can make individual ones. You can make a really big one. I ended up making a larger one today. But if you you know, have a dinner party and want to do something fancy, you make these little meringue discs or little meringue cakes. You can fill them with whipped cream and toss them with berries. And there's all kinds of little secrets that are going to be in my blog post that I'm going to be sharing. So, but I found some little very
Let me stop you before you go with your tidbits. So, I mean, I'm thinking. What I'm thinking about when you say meringue. Now, of course, me being a country boy, I think of lemon meringue pie. So, when you say a meringue disc, is it actually like a fluffy meringue, like
well,
I would have on a
pie? Well,
there's a
lot of there's a lot of different types of meringues, and as a pastry chef, you know, I use them all for different applications. And there's, okay. you know, an Italian meringue, which is the type of meringue. Have you ever seen a baked Alaska before?
Yes, I actually have.
Okay. a baked Alaska.
And I've actually
yeah, I'm really
kind of
I'm testing your culture here a little bit, but baked Alaska is you know, it's frozen, it's ice cream on the inside, and then the whole thing is coated with a meringue, but it's coated with an Italian meringue.
Right.
And that one is it's a cooked meringue, so you actually cook a syrup and you pour it into the egg whites, and it stabilizes the meringue. It becomes very soft and marshmallowy. And Italian meringue many times is also flamed. So a lot of times, if you see it on a dessert and it's flamed, more than likely it's an Italian meringue.
Okay.
And then there's a French meringue. French meringue. A lot of people make mistakes actually in using French meringue. French meringue should not be made and eaten raw. And what I mean by that is a lot of people will make like a lemon meringue pie or a custard meringue pie or chocolate cream pie, and they'll whip up a meringue and they'll just throw it in the oven just for a few seconds just to, you know, take on some color, or they'll take the torch to it. But then it really hasn't been in the oven for very long, and then they'll, you know, cut it and serve it. You
right.
really shouldn't use French meringue for that. It should be an Italian meringue because it's not cooked. And, you know, with all of the issues we're dealing with salmonella and everything in this country, you don't want, especially if you're a caterer or you're, you know, a restaurant or cafe and you're serving, you know, meringue top dessert, you don't want anybody going home sick. So
yeah,
that could
ruin your dinner party slightly.
Could really put a huge dent in the evening. But French meringues, ideally what should be used for is if you're making like a sponge cake and you really need to lighten the batter, that's really what a French meringue is for. It's used to lighten up an existing batter. And it's also used in soufflés to lighten up the base for a soufflé,
okay.
because then it's thrown into the oven and then it's baked. And then the last one is a Swiss meringue, which is cooked over a water bath. And Swiss meringues can be made into discs, which you pipe out and you bake. And you can bake them all the way to where they're completely solid and crispy and crunchy. And then a lot of people will fill them with, you know, whipped cream or custard. You see these in a lot more of the upscale pastry shops. And then, you know, top them with, you know, all kinds of fresh fruit. But, you know, again, Americans really are not big on meringue desserts. A lot of times I see those little meringue kisses. Have you ever seen
mm-hmm.
those in the bag?
Yes,
where they
I
kind
have.
Of pop in and look like a little Hershey kiss. And sometimes they'll drizzle them with chocolate, or they'll leave them plain and make, you know, assorted colors. And then people just kind of munch on that. But Australians have taken meringue to a whole different level. And actually, both the Aussies and the Kiwis, and we call Kiwis the people that come from New Zealand, they have been arguing over who actually created the pavlova. And I kind of looked up some history on it, and some, you know, do you believe that there are people that are called culinary anthropologists? I mean, people that actually do this for a living, called culinary anthropologists, not historians, no, culinary anthropologists. I think it's
well,
kind
actually,
of like
I have. I have because that's actually I read an article. Believe it or not, I'm actually cultured enough to read. I read an article about a culinary anthropologist who proved that man was basically barbecuing. I mean, way back there, back in the dinosaur time, and they were
right.
they found like charcoal briquettes.
Oh, I could really go places with that last comment,
yes.
But I think I'm
not, yeah, just leave it alone.
I think I'm gonna keep your show clean today.
Okay.
And we'll just continue moving
Why?
Forward. But
Why? I never do. Why?
Well, because I always try to be good, and I've got a couple of, you know, my Facebook friends who are always throwing little curves at me, trying to throw me off course, but. You know, I always have to lead with the professional side. But
yes,
those of
you
that know me know better.
Yes, yes, we do. So go back to your culinary anthropologist.
Culinary anthropologist believes that the recipe was created in 1935, but you know, they've been arguing back and forth. Some other people have found similar recipes in magazines in different towns across Australia and New Zealand, where they've actually found similar recipes from 1929. But somebody's trying to actually peg this to around 1926 as the actual creation. And there's a food critic in Australia who says, you know, the actual history of this probably never be found, simply because there have been variations of this particular meringue dish dessert going back through Australian history. And he said, it's just one of those things. Look, just enjoy the bloody thing and forget about it. So.
Really, who cares? Just eat it.
Who gives a crap, right? It's just a great dessert, and just let's go with it. So it's one of those things that, you know, I think Americans who because, you know, we're really starting to change how we cook and going out to more gourmet, buying more gourmet types of things to be able to cook with at home. You know, these are things that, you know, I think we need to kind of broaden our horizons and try different things instead of the same old, same old. So I just thought it was interesting. But do you know what the largest pavlova ever made was? Yes.
Well, first of all, I didn't know what a pavlova was till just now. So the largest, you mean as far as size-wise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, you made it long, so the longest.
The longest. Oh, let me just take a wild guess. 47 feet.
210 feet long.
No kidding. Wow.
No kidding. And the world record before that was 148 feet long. And it was actually made by some culinary students in 2005. In New Zealand, and guess what they called it? This was had me rolling.
The very long pavlova, whatever you have you say it.
Pavzilla, they called it.
Ah, cool.
I thought that was so cute. But anyway, so that is kind of your history in a nutshell on the dessert called pavlova. And just one other thing, there is another dessert that's really famous in Australia. It's called an eaten mess. And
eaten mess?
Not eating mess, an eaten mess, E-A-T-O-N, mess. And it's one of those desserts that you, and this, of course, is made with crispy meringues, and they just bust them all up and add whipped cream and fruit, and you can make a chocolate version, or you can just keep it, you know, vanilla-based, and they add custard to it and all kinds of things. I mean, the Aussies really know how to enjoy food. And
well, when I have barbecue ribs, it is definitely an eaten mess.
But this one is really it's a great, great dessert. It's something that's really easy to make. You just basically throw it together. You bake it in the oven for about an hour, and then you shut it off and you forget about it until you're ready to put it together. And you put it together last minute and you serve it, and you're going to get a zillion wows, and people are going to be asking you what it is. So it'll become a regular item on your dessert repertoire, guaranteed. But the next item, you want to talk about the next item that I'm going to be
blog? Yes, just before you do, I just saw on the, what do you call it, the chat room?
Yeah.
That Crispy's actually here. He's writing on the chat room. He says, I am here. They are doing construction in my apartment, but I am here. I guess because they got construction going on, he can't get on because of the noise. So I feel better. We don't have to send the hounds out. So go ahead. You can continue.
Forget the hound dog. Crispy, it was the whip. I told you it was the whip that was going to bring
him
home.
He must have heard you because he jumped right on right after that.
Right. Forget the APB. It's the whip that always works. But anyway, so and of course, the topic of today, we forgot to even introduce the topic since we jumped into meringue so quickly. The topic of today is dessert.
Actually, that would be fun, jumping into meringue. But go ahead. What's our topic?
Well, we just jumped into it so fast we didn't really do kind of an introduction on what the topic was today, which we usually do. But because we just were so excited about meringue and, you know, getting coated in meringue and rolling around in meringue and all of that wonderful stuff. But it's actually a topic about berries, summer berries. So my other dessert that I did, which I'm going to be, I'm putting up the pavlova recipe today, and I'm doing the other dessert tomorrow, and then I'm doing the third one on Monday. So you're going to be inundated with berry desserts for the next 3 days.
How's okay. That? And
will
that's on good food. That keep me happy, and that's on Good Food Gourmet, right?
That's right. It's goodfoodgourmet.com, and it'll be on my personal page, and it'll be on my Good Food Gourmet page, too, on Facebook. So if you don't catch the blog, you can definitely catch it.
So we'll all be very happy.
You'll be very, very happy. That's right.
Okay.
And I knew that you were a little unhappy since you were crispy-less this morning. So
I know.
Make sure that I was going to...
The day just cannot go on without my crispy.
So I just wanted to make sure you were going to be very happy before I left. So
yes.
It
okay.
all kind of worked out.
Yes, it did.
But anyway, all right. So the next one that I'm talking about is something really cool that I've never seen done before. And I was thinking to myself, you know, well, how can I make... I mean, we're all familiar with Napoleons, right? You know what a Napoleon is, right?
Yes.
It's usually made with puff pastry, you know, baked puff pastry sheets and layered with either custard or whipped cream. And I didn't want to do the traditional thing, and I didn't want to use the phyllo, which a lot of other people use, instead of the puff pastry. And I thought to myself, well, what the heck could I do to make it a little bit different to where we could, you know, layer some berries and some whipped cream and something a little bit more unique? So what I did was I made crepes, very, very thin crepes, and I caramelized them. And I didn't really know if they were going to work because I've never seen it done before. And I didn't know if they were going to work, if they were going to still stay soggy, but boy, did that work. And you talk about a banging dessert. So I caramelized these really, really thin crepes. I coated them with sugar and caramelized them.
Wait. What kind of dessert? A banging dessert?
It's a banging dessert.
Okay.
We're not going there.
All right. So you caramelized your crepes.
It's a banging dessert because we caramelized the crepes.
Okay.
And we created these very, very thin layers that hold up really, really well. It almost looks like phyllo, little rounds of phyllo. And I made little 6-inch ones out of my a very tiny little crepe pan. And then I just cut out rounds to make them all uniform, threw on some sugar, caramelized them in a hot, really hot oven that you really have to kind of watch because they'll turn on you really fast. Let them cool, layered them with whipped cream and topped them with fresh berries. And so that one's going to be on tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's on out of this world good, outrageous. And then the third one that I'm doing is an eclair cake. I mean, you've had eclairs, but have you ever had eclair cake?
Chocolate eclairs. I could eat those like all day long, sit in front of the refrigerator with us, just pull up a stool and eat out right out of the refrigerator.
Aren't they good? Oh, my God, they're so good.
And by the way, I've done that. So,
so great. I told you to make sure you wore your stretchy pants today. We were in trouble from the start. I knew it.
Yes,
but anyway,
definitely.
So this is made in a huge cake shape and then cut open, filled with custard and fresh fruit, and then topped with the lid, and then the whole thing is coated with chocolate.
Wow.
And whipped cream. So,
wow.
And that one's going to be on Monday. So you'll see that one on Monday. So you're just going to be in dessert. You're going to be in dessert heaven.
Well, I'm always in dessert heaven when you come on every month.
Aww. But we always have such a good time.
Yes, we do. We do keep things moving along, don't we? So we've got
even though we're crispy-less, we still have a blast. Even with all of my tidbits and my interesting ideas on these crazy desserts. But, you know, they all work, and I think a lot of it is, you know, a lot of people will say to me, well, this is such a great idea. And I said, well, you know, my goal is to provide people with a handful of really great recipes that they could use their creativity and their imagination to kind of make different things. And I think that's really the beauty of having, you know, 5 or 10 really great basic recipes And I mean, and out of these 5 or 10 basic recipes, you can make hundreds and hundreds of desserts. And really, out of the crepe recipe that I've provided, you can use a you can make a standard crepe, and then I've also provided a recipe for a low carb version of the same crepe that I've made before. When we talked about, okay. Remember a couple of months ago, we talked about low carb desserts.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Well, this is the same crepe recipe. It's just we just use, instead of an all-purpose flour, we use a whole wheat flour, and we used a some unsweetened chocolate to make that, and that was a low-carb version. So, again, very versatile. Try to include recipes that you use at home that are things that are very versatile that you can interchange and add different things to, and just make things that, you know, only your guests and only your family are tasting and experiencing. And, you know, again, the wows just keep coming. So
everybody
that's
wants
the beauty
to
of creating.
To find these beautiful creations, they can go to thegoodfoodgourmet.com, and they
yes.
can find the, how do you say it again? I'm going to mess it up. Why can't I say that word?
Pavlova. P-A-V-L-O-V-A.
Pavlova.
Right.
Pavlova.
That's right.
And also the caramel.
It's going to be caramelized crepe. Napoleon is what
Napoleon,
it's going to be called.
I think I'm stuck on the eclair cake. That's my problem.
Come back to me, Frankie baby. Come back to me. Forget it. I've been listening to Sinatra all morning. But anyway, eclair cake, yeah. Oh, my
okay.
God. So
I
good.
I can't wait for that
so.
One. I'm going to have to try that one. I'm going to have to check that one out and try to make that myself. Now, while you're here, I
yes.
want you to give a little plug about your new project. You've talked about it last month, and it seems like it's moving along really well. You've made some new inroads with your new website, and just kind of give everybody a brief rundown on what's happening there.
We've actually done a couple of new things since the last time we spoke. We were getting ready to launch our new e-shop, which we have done, and we've added a handful of recipes into the home baker site, and that's actually on the goodfoodgourmet.com blog. And
okay.
There's a link on each of the pages. There's a link to enter the shop. There's a little flashing show of all of the different cakes that you could make. And one thing, and this is the home baker section. We haven't quite opened up the commercial side because it takes a little bit more time to develop the commercial recipes because those ones come with nutrition labels.
Okay.
So now that I'm going to be having a little bit more time, and, you know, in the next week or so, I really want to be able to focus on getting that open and using having chefs be able to use that as a recipe resource. So
okay.
You can go and you can purchase exactly which recipe that you want instead of having to go and buy an entire book just because you're interested in one or two recipes. And I think that's kind of the beauty of doing things this way. You can look through all of the different types of products that you can make with that particular base. And a lot of these are cake bases and cookie bases that you can just go ahead and add your own stuff. And again, make things uniquely yours. That's my goal, is to get people to be creative and provide them with a good base product that they could then, you know, either use as it is, or they can just add a bunch of other things to it and then make it their own. And then the
okay.
other interesting thing, really quickly, because I know my time is winding down here, but I started a new social media company a couple of months ago. And the company has really, really taken off, and it's a company called Foodarella, and it's a social media company focusing on food service businesses. And
okay.
the reason I decided to start it is because I have an MBA in marketing. A lot of people didn't know that, but you know, and that's kind of really where my specialty is.
Hey, and I don't have an MBA, and a lot of people know that.
Well, I love to go to school, and I've always loved education, and so it's very hard to kind of find people who have not only the kitchen experience but the business experience too,
right.
and the sales and the marketing that comes along with it. And I was always tapped for information by a lot of people in the industry, and I thought, well, gee, you know, why not do this, because there is a great need for it. And so I decided to start the company a couple of months ago, and really without much promotion at all, the company has really taken off. And again, now that I'm going to have a little bit more time, I'm going to be doing more promotion. We're going to be offering We've got some really great web designers that are going to be working with us to help develop blogs, maintain, develop Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, LinkedIn files, and be able to maintain them for you. We also have a tech support program that we're going to be offering to a lot of people who, you know, when their blog goes down, they don't know what the heck to do because they're handling it all on their own. And again, it's for a very nominal monthly cost. I find that a lot of companies that are out there really try to gouge people, and it's just totally unnecessary. So we're coming in with, you know, a much more cost-effective way to get your recipes out there, get your, you know, what it is that you love to do out there. And, you know, I was one of those people that had started a blog and paid, you know, $1,000, $1,500, and at the end of all of that, I still didn't have what I wanted, and I think that's absolutely ridiculous. So for a nominal amount, we can get you going and drop your content in. We can manage it for you, or you can we can teach you how to manage it yourself. So all kinds of really great things going on this end. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I've almost hit my maximum number of Facebook friends on Facebook, which has been wonderful. And so we've got a really great audience of people that are following us, and I would say 90% of the people are chefs or people who are in the food business, caterers, that kind of thing. And so, you know, lots of really great things going on, lots of really great input coming in from people, people sharing information, and I just love it. I am really, really happy with how it's turned out.
I don't know how you do all the things you do. I don't think you ever sleep, but congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And so, and it's called foodarella.com.
Foodarella is the name of the company, and the website isn't up. We're again, I started the Facebook page a couple of months ago, and again, that's another thing that I'm going to be adding a lot more information to, doing more social media articles on the food service industry, how people can, you know, help promote themselves, also list all of the services that we're going to be providing. I'm going to be introducing all of the people that we're going to be working with, who are going to be part of our team, and so just lots of information. It's been really a crunch time for me the last couple of months because I was running the cookie route and I had production going on you know, retail orders. Now we're focusing the cookie company strictly on the corporate side. That's really where the greatest demand is for our products. So corporate gifts, that kind of thing, we're focusing Mumsy's on so that I can focus my attention on other things. And the last week was the last week of the cookie route, which I've been doing for the last year and a half. And so it was a great week, but it was a very sad week because I had to say goodbye to a lot of my cookie customers. And but, you know, everybody's very understanding and was so kind and just wonderful, wonderful, especially yesterday, which was the last day. So there were lots of hugs and lots of tears and lots of saying goodbye. And but a lot of good things came out of it, too. I was actually speaking kind of to some of the sales managers on a very impromptu basis to do their corporate stuff because they've been so pleased with the Mumsy's products. So they're just so many things
door,
I'm just trying
one door,
to feel.
One door closes and another one opens.
Yes, and that's really, you know, the blessings that I've had the last couple of months. And we're just, you know, as long as I can keep moving forward, keep doing the right thing, keep making people happy, I think that's what it's all about, don't you think?
Well, don't. One thing you got to remember, don't get too busy to where you can't at least come on for a half hour on the Gray and Ideas radio show each month.
Well, you know, I'm never too busy for you. And because we just have so much fun, you know, and I think
yes, we do.
The part of really interacting with people and keeping people around you is that your relationship with them should be effortless. And, you know, when you're dealing with all these people that are out there and they've got all these issues and all these problems and everything, you've got to muddle through all of this crap in order to get to the real person.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather focus my energy on people like you and other people who my relationships with them are seamless, you know, and we understand each other, we know where we're heading, we know what we're talking about, and we have fun, too, and I think that's what life should always be about anyway.
That's
you know?
What it's about because there's too much drama on Facebook, so yeah, I agree with
there's
you.
There's just too much drama in life, I think, as a whole, and I think if we all learn to simplify our lives and just say, hey, you know, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to do, this is the type of person that I am. I surround myself with great, productive, you know, healthy-minded people, and, you know, everybody else, if you can't play along, then, you know, move out of the way because we're still barreling down the road here. So
yes.
I'm with you, and we've got shows planned through the end of the year. And,
do you remember what you're doing in July? I don't remember what the topic is.
Yes,
in July,
we're talking about French desserts, and I've got a
French
couple of
desserts.
Really good ones for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So it's going to be another killer show.
Another killer show. Well, I appreciate you coming on again this morning and sharing all your, I guess I'll call them berry-filled desserts, and they are always sinful. Go, everybody check out the goodfoodgourmet.com site, and you'll be posting those the next couple of days, the ones you spoke about. And
well,
come
the
back
Pavlova
and see
will
us.
Be up in the next hour, and then
okay.
the other ones will be up the next couple of days.
All right, and come back and see us next month.
I will. With
and
bells on.
With bells on, I'm going to take a break, and I think this song is appropriate for you, the ZZ Top Legs song. I'm going to play that as we go to the break.
I love you, Frankie,
back,
baby.
All right, bye-bye. I love you.
Bye.
Take care. All right,
you
everybody
too.
Hang tight. We're going to take a break, and then Angela Garcia is going to be coming on to talk about wine and all kinds of other good stuff. So everybody hang tight. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Welcome back to the Green Ideas Radio Show, and I got some more coffee and got rid of some, and we're going to move along here. By the way, too, make sure you check out Katarina's website, which is goodfoodgourmet.com, to find all those tasty treats she was talking about today. And our next guest is coming on here with us is Angela Garcia. And Angela, if everything is working correctly here, we should have you on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, Frank. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. We finally get to talk on the radio. Several times we've tried to work it out, and we've had technical difficulties. And thank you for trying to get back on with us, and welcome to the show.
Absolutely. It's great to finally be a part of the show and share a little bit about our wine and bounty hunting and everything else that's going on in our life.
Yeah, I don't even know where to even start with you. You've got so many interesting stories. I guess we'll talk about the wine first, because I was, and you got the coolest website, by the way.
Thank you. For those that are listening,
we've got the link on our show page here to mostwantedwinery.com, and that is such a cool website. I was going through it last night, and of course, I'm kind of a cowboy at heart anyway, and I love the background music. So tell us a little bit about Most Wanted Wine and how long you've been in the wine business and a little bit about the wines themselves.
All right. So Most Wanted Wine Company, actually, my husband and I planted our vineyards in 2000.
Okay.
We actually, as I mentioned, we own a bail bonds and bounty hunting business. So we've been doing that since about 94, 95.
Okay.
So it just seemed fitting when we came out with our label, hello, Most Wanted.
Right.
You know, we like these, being out in the vineyard. We like those shoots because they, you know, they don't shoot back. So it's a little safer out there. So anyways, so we planted the vineyard in 2000. Primarily, we were just going to just be farmers and grow some fruit and sell it out. And then in 2005, we harvested, about 1.5 tons and gave it out to friends and family for Christmas and little gift baskets. And everybody came back asking to buy cases. And a little stumped, Mark and I looked at each other and said, well, by George, we think we've got it. We're on to something. So we were very encouraged. Then came out with our 2006, which was our first vintage that was commercially on the market.
Okay.
And after that, we started submitting them into some awards. And so some pretty impressive awards, I would say, because we are just a boutique winery. And we submitted our 07 to the San Francisco Wine Chronicle competition, where we received the gold award. So that was real exciting. And since then, we've received awards through the San Diego International Wine Competition, the Long Beach Grand Cru, and also received a rating in the Wine Enthusiast magazine for both our Chardonnay and our Cabernet. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of rating did you get from them?
On our Cabernet, we received an 88, and on our Chardonnay, we received an 89. Yeah.
All right.
So, also with our wines, you know, the awards that we, the competitions we've been submitting, I know this last one, Mark decided to submit it again in the San Francisco Wine Chronicle, and that's the 2008. And what we did is we actually submitted it in a higher price point. I believe the highest bottle of wine went up to $250. I think it was like a $60 price point and up. And if you look, it was all Napa, Paso Robles, Oakdale.
Right.
So we didn't increase the price, but it definitely came back with a silver. There was 5,500 wines submitted, and they were all some of those higher-end wines. We came back with the silver, as I mentioned. So we definitely made it to the playoffs with that one. So
good for you. Now, so you say your boutique winery. What kind, like how many cases of wine do you guys produce on an annualized basis?
You know, we just make the two varietals. So we make a Chardonnay, and we source that from Sonoma County right off the Russian River, which is fantastic.
Okay.
And then we make our cab that we grow. So between both varietals, it's a little over 1,000 cases. We retail for about $33 a bottle. So it's definitely that, you know, a state-grown wine. Everything's hand-picked. My poor kids, I mean, they're going to be they're going to be so overworked by the time we're done. You know, we have them out in the field harvesting. And then, as you know, my husband was running for Congress, so we just finished the primary. So they were out there walking precincts and handing out palm cards, and they just look at me like, Mom, does it ever stop?
Does it ever stop? Well,
so,
how did that turn out, by the way? I know he was running for Congress.
You know,
how did things turn out?
It didn't turn out in our favor. However, we look at it like this. We won without the title. I know a lot of people may say that. However, my husband's never ran for any type of political any level of politics. And it was just one of those things, you know, we run two businesses, we have a family of our own, and definitely there's some things that need to be changed.
Right.
And so he ran. He had only been in the race for about 90 days versus the other candidates that had been in for a year. And in that 90-day period, he raised a good amount of money, and he took about 5,000 votes. So for someone that nobody really knows, he definitely put a dent in it. And as Ronald Reagan ran three times for presidency, who knows? Mark may be doing this again. I think he got a taste of it.
Well, I was going to ask, is he going to continue next go around?
I think so. He's been getting some calls. Obviously, we've met some amazing people throughout the district. In our area, in that district, the 16th, we actually have met so many wonderful farmers. Didn't realize how much water was important and how we actually fed the world. Just amazing, amazing farming cultures that are going on there. So I think he's really made a connection with those people and definitely has a heart for them and would like to see some favor on their side. So I believe he's going to continue to fight. Absolutely.
Well, good. Good. I like those kind of stories, and you know, the grassroots type of political movement, and you know, it takes time, and also takes lots of money, but unfortunately.
Yes.
But Tom, congratulations.
Thank you. And you figure, you know, he's been bounding hay for 16 years. Surely he can go up to Congress, and he's not afraid of anybody over there. So.
Well, now you got to.
He's seen the worst of the worst.
You got to tell me about the bounty hunting, because that's the part that I said, well, I want to leave that part for last, because of course everybody thinks of Dog, the bounty hunter on TV. Is it like that in your life?
You know, we get that question a lot. Dog the bounty hunter, he's great for ratings. Don't get me wrong; it's definitely entertaining. On the realistic side of it, you know, there's a lot of just setting and waiting. We actually have a joke. We have a bounty hunter diet, and it's rock stars and peanuts and beef jerky because you're just sitting in a car waiting for, you know, possibly hours. The exciting part is that 10, 15 minutes when the adrenaline's rushing and you're actually handcuffing and getting the person. So, you know, as on the bounty hunter, Dog the Bounty Hunter show, they just show that 10 to 15 minutes. You know, my husband's very good at what he does. He's been doing it for 16 years. His return rate has been, oh, gosh, I'd say about 95%. There's only been a few people that he doesn't get. So somehow he's just good at what he does. I know one time I got a quick story. I'll probably make it quick anyways. Sometimes I don't understand how his mind works. He actually had a guy we had been searching for quite some time. And in the court system, you only have 180 days. Well, for California anyways, you have about 180 days to, one, apprehend them, to get them back into the judicial system. And so this guy was just slippery. I mean, we were having a really rough time finding him. Well, we have four children, and on our cell phones, we all have, you know, consecutive numbers. So this guy had a company, and, you know, we had gone everywhere, really just, you know, exhausted every avenue. And one day we're driving in the truck, and Mark turns around and looks at me, and he says, he's got a company. I'm going to start going down the list and calling all the numbers consecutively. And so he did that, and lo and behold, one of the guy's ex-employees had answered the phone, wasn't too happy with him, and actually led us to the arrest.
Oh, really?
We won't leave name. So, you know, it's just simple things like that you're using as an investigator. So,
well,
maybe not as exciting as the dog.
How did he actually get into that business? You said 16 years ago. I mean, what made him become a bounty hunter?
He became, well, in our bail bonds company, you can apprehend your own. So as soon as we opened up the bail bonds business, I mean, you know, you have to go out there. We do carry guns. So we don't carry pepper spray or I think beanbag guns, I think is what's out there. So, you know, we do apprehend. And, you know, for the most part, Mark has always had somebody that he's been very respectful with. It's just a tough situation that they make bad choices, and you got to help them along through it. So he's been doing that since we've opened the bail business.
Hmm.
So,
Now, talking about that, I saw a photograph of you as I guess bail bonds girl.
Yes, bail bond girl, the superhero of bail. That you know, my husband is just this little nifty guy, I guess. We get together, we'll have a bottle of wine, and we come up with these crazy little antidotes for our business. This is the most wanted, you know, the story with behind that. You know, we had about a bottle of wine and came up with that name.
Right.
Bail Bond Girl was kind of one of those niches that we needed in the industry. There's so many bail bonds on every corner, and really what sets one aside from the other. I mean, it was back in the day that you had a guy smoking a cigar with a bald hat, card playing hat. So we tried to come up with something that was really going to set us apart, because you only get one call, and what are you going to remember? And so it was Bail Bond Girl. So somehow he got me in that outfit, and it worked. I've been on billboards and television and radio, and people know Bail Bond Girl. I'll give it that. So.
Yeah, I saw. I mean, and like you said, you got to have that little catch, that little niche to make people remember you when it comes to those situations. And I didn't realize you were on billboards too. So you're like a big star there in Oakdale.
Well,
right?
I wouldn't say I was a big star, but definitely the superhero of Bail, right? My clientele doesn't get out much, so well.
Well, go back. You mentioned a minute ago about you have 180 days in the judicial system of California. What happens at day 181?
On day 181, you have to either have your defendant in custody or appearing before the judge, or you pay the bond. So,
okay.
You know, some people's misconception is bail bonds make a lot of money, and there was a time where it was a very lucrative business. However, with just the recent changes to the economy and to the regulations and red tape, it has definitely made it a bit of a struggle. Your average bail is like a $10,000 bond, so you know we charge the 10%, and then if the defendant doesn't, you know, get back to the courts and you don't apprehend them, then
you're out the other $9,000, right?
That's right. No, you're out the full 10.
Full 10. That's right. Okay.
So, yeah. And, you know, unfortunately right now there's been so many overcrowding in all jails. I mean, we actually bail nationwide. So all jails, you know, what's happening now is they're just releasing people. And, you know, it's sad because you get arrested and some people should stay there. Some people, of course, you know, need to get out. One of our, you know, people would come to me and say, you know, why do you bail people out of jail? Well, you know, we bail good people out. They just make bad choices. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they have a job that they need to get out and go to work. We all have to go to work. And these days with so many jobs, you know, the lack of them, I guess I should say, you know, people just sit there. They don't have a reason to get out. So it's unfortunate. It definitely needs to be readdressed. And, you know, there again, that was one of the reasons my husband was running for Congress for both businesses. I mean, there's so many red tape regulations in the bail industry and in the wine industry that those two industries alone, we have heard the complaints from people and the concerns and, you know, just trying to free up the market, you know.
Well, I know the wine industry. I get a newsletter about I think it's every like 2 weeks about what, you know, the California wineries and stuff. And there's a lot of them going under, and a lot of them you see with when they have interviews with people. It has to do with all the red tape, regulations, and things you have to do, and the labeling and the special bottling. And it's getting to the point where, I mean, it's not worth it for people to even try to be in the wine business just because of all the headaches and red tape you got to go through.
Right, absolutely. It's definitely challenging. You know, we have so many wineries and so many great, great wines and vintages and varietals out there, and it's really tough to just keep your head above water and, you know, not only set yourself apart, you know, when you're out there to the consumer, you know, to draw the consumer in to buy your product, but then you have all this on the flip side of it that's trying to almost constrict you and choke you out. From getting your product out there. So you're dealing with two different facets here. One, the consumers, you know, trying to appeal to them, and then on the other hand, trying to just stay in business, which is sad because, as I mentioned, you know, we have four children, and Mark and I, we've been married 22 years. He's 41, and I'm I'm not in my 40s yet, so I'll leave it at that. But we've been together, you know, since we were very young. And, you know, we encourage, you know, free market business.
Right.
You know, our children, we're always encouraging them, you know, when they come up with an idea, go for it. And we just feel that this day and age, you know, it's more of, you know, sitting around and getting the entitlements and the handouts than actually using
yep.
your God-given skills and gifts and getting out there and busting your booty and making something happen. So.
Well, they make it too easy nowadays not to do
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we'll just all sit around and drink wine.
There you go. Well, and the wine business itself. Do you guys, speaking of the economy and all that, has that affected your business? You said the cost of your wine is like in the $30 range. Has that affected you?
You know, we definitely target a certain clientele. We're not the value wine. However, our wine and, you know, just it is an amazing product. We definitely put a lot of passion into it. We do have a tasting room that we're only open on the weekends.
Okay.
And, you know, the clientele that we get is probably, you know, that can afford that $33 bottle more than
right.
just on a special.
Okay. I think, did we lose you? I think we may have lost her. I think we lost your hello. Well, I'm going to see if I can get her back on here, and I'm going to take a quick break, and I think we lost your contact. There you are. We lost you there for a second. I'm sorry.
Oh, are you there?
We missed the last 3 minutes. You're back on now. You were talking
okay,
about
I don't know
people,
what happened.
people coming
okay.
to your coming to your winery who can afford it, and then we lost you.
Right. So, you know, we have that target group where it is a little bit more of the higher end versus the value wine. And don't get me wrong, there's some great value wines out there. Just we put so much attention into our fruit. First of all, everything's hand-picked.
Right.
Everything is hand-sorted. The first machine that actually touches our fruit is the press. We cold-soak our fruit. Then we barrel ferment it in neutral French oak barrels. That rests for anywhere from 13 to 15 months. So there's a lot of hands-on process that goes on that has to bring it up to that price. And it you know, it's definitely shows in the wine. It's an amazing product, very enjoyable. Definitely not your everyday wine unless, you know, you can afford the $33 every day. But like I say, you know, once it's gone, it's gone, and we don't make that
right.
much of it. So enjoy it while you got it.
Now, you actually sell the wine on your website, correct?
We do. I always encourage people to call the tasting room. We
okay.
can ship anywhere. Our, you know, as our website is www. Most Wanted Wine Company, and I actually had hands on in that. I love Bon Jovi, and I love the whole, you know, barrel kind of arrest barrel wanted dead or alive type deal. So
right.
we kind of chose that direction with all that and the gates and the cell. I believe we actually had shirts. I don't know if they're still on the website, but. We had them like a, not really jail bars, but it was like cellar bars. And then it had a barrel with a bottle of wine said serving time. I don't know if those are still on it, but kind of fun stuff we try to come up with. But, yeah, the best way would be to call the tasting room, and that's in Oakdale, Most Wanted Wine
okay.
Company in Oakdale, California. And
okay.
We can ship you the wine. Also, if you're ever in the area or, you know, any of your listeners are in the area going on their way to Yosemite, we get a lot of people that come up through the 108, 120 there in our little town of Oakdale, and then they stop in at the tasting room. So definitely encourage people to do that as well.
Oakdale's up there in gold country too, right?
Yes, we have. We're actually gateway to Yosemite. So
okay.
if you're coming in, we're kind of on the ground floor, and then you go up, and then you've got Sonora and Jamestown and definitely all that historical little towns up there. And then you kind of, you know, rear off to the left, and you can go up to Yosemite, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, it is a great place to visit. Well, we appreciate, Angela, you coming on and talking about Bail Bonds Girl and running for Congress and all about your wine company. And thank you for hanging in there over the last couple of weeks of trying to get us all lined up and some of the technical difficulties. But
keep
us posted if you continue. You know, who knows? He might be like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington one day.
You know, I'm telling him, if he doesn't do something, I'm going to, because I'll tell you what, I definitely got a taste for it. I think both of us have. And, you know, we enjoyed it. We had a great time, you know, and with both our businesses, with bounty hunting, bail bonds, and wine. I mean, we're just always out there meeting people anyways. So we're definitely not shy. So it was just on a whole different level. And, you know, somehow we can tie all this together. And I don't know, look for my book. I may write a book one day. I definitely have some great stories.
So I bet, I'm going to say, I bet it'll be an interesting book, too. I look forward to looking forward to read that. Well, thank you again for stopping by and keep us posted. And
Alrighty,
good luck there with the winery. And everybody who's listening, make sure you can click right on the link on our radio page and check out their wine. Go buy some and come see us again sometime.
All right. I sure will. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. You too. Thanks, Frank. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Angela Garcia, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be coming back here shortly with country music songwriter, singer Brian Mack, who's going to be coming on and joining us. He's got some really cool songs, and he's got some interesting stories, too. I spoke to him yesterday, and I think you'll enjoy his music and his stories. And I'm going to take a break here. We're going to run a couple of ads for our new sponsors, and then I'm going to actually play one of Brian's songs, and then we'll bring Brian on and have a little chat. Everybody hang tight, and we will be back here in just a few minutes. And don't go away, and don't turn that dial.
Has your dinner been tasting a little bland lately? Do you love to barbecue? If you answered yes to these questions, then I have a great solution for you. Let Albuquerque Seasonings spice up your next meal. Albuquerque Seasonings offers rubs and sauces that feature new Mexico chili products that add a distinctive taste with a southwestern kick. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Albuquerque. Follow us on Twitter at Albuquerque Barbecue. And most importantly, check out the website and order some great rubs and sauces over at www.albuquerqueseasonings.com. That's spelled Albuquerque seasonings.com. Hey, Mr. Brilliant Ideas, what's new?
Hey, Crispy, check out what I got today. I got a box of cigars from the Don Pablo Cigar Factory.
Awesome! I was just checking out the website for the Don Pablo Cigar Factory over at www.donpablocigars.com.
Yeah, did you know they have a great selection of cigars like natural, sweet, and Maduro?
They also have cognac, vintage, and aromatic cigars as well.
The Don Pablo Cigar Factory has their very own cigar makers, each with over 30 years experience, and they are masters in their field.
Every cigar sold at the Don Pablo Cigar Factory is handmade and hand-rolled from scratch right in front of the customer. How cool is that? The Don Pablo Cigar Factory can be reached at 1-800-537-4957. Once again, that phone number is 1-800-537-4957. Order your cigars today from www.donpablocigars.com.
Do I drive him crazy, or do I just find him halfway? I've been married at least 3 times. You never know just what you'll find. Last one still sits in county. just find them that way.
And that was Brian Mack, Do I Drive Women Crazy? And if everything is working correctly, we should have Brian Mack on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Well, hello. Good morning.
How are you? I love that song, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll tell you, it was kind of cool hearing it right then.
So welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking time from Nashville to come on and share some of your music and some of your stories. And you and I were talking yesterday about that particular song, and there's actually a YouTube video for those that are listening. If you want to check it out, you can go to YouTube and see the video, and it's actually a very funny video. And kind of give us some background, Brian, about that song and kind of how, what happened when the filming of the YouTube video.
Yeah, well, you know, the song is about life situations and the things you come across. You got to write about what you know. And, well, we ended up shanghaiing a fantastic little bar in Ramsey, Minnesota, called JR's Outpost, and they gave us the bar for the day. So we started out about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we recruited a lot of extras from Facebook, all our friends, to come in and act as patrons and set the scene. We had three different ladies that played out the parts of the crazy ladies, let's say. But it was a lot of fun. My daughter got to play in it. She's the second one, the second girl that's the drunk. Funny story. She had to actually down like three or four glasses of wine in like a 5-minute period of time just for all the takes.
Oh wow! But, so she really was drunk then, right?
By the time she finished out, she was walking out with a cowboy. But I got to watch my girl. But, you know, my girlfriend, she's the waitress in it. So we recruited a lot of different people to come into it. It just came off so well and was so much fun to do. Had a fantastic staff and director. Alex was just great in directing it. And it came off really fun. It was a lot of fun. We later played that night at the same bar, so we got a lot of the live footage with the band. And one of my best bands that I've had together in that length of time. They're extremely excellent musicians. But yeah, that was my little time up in Minnesota doing that one. You know?
Well, it's a great song and a great video. For those that are listening, should check it out. And so tell me a little bit about Brian Mack and the Brian Mack Band. How did you get into singing? I know you said, we talked yesterday, that you actually were where I am in San Diego for, what, about 15 years in the service.
Yeah.
Then you ended up in Nashville. But kind of give us a background how you got into the singing world and ended up in Nashville.
Well, you know, it goes back to growing up in a small town in Jackson, California, up near Lake Tahoe, and being very musical school, it was just kind of around us. And I bought a guitar and got playing and picking around, and then one thing led to another. I ended up in the Navy and taking that guitar with me on a nuclear submarine out of San Diego, and you come across a lot of different pickers and a lot of different guys that are in the service, and through my service time, I wrote a lot of songs, a lot of things. I wrote one, Mr. Jack, which is probably one of my first ones that I put together. And at the time, I was 18, and it was a free license to drink, actually, when you're in the military on base.
Right.
And being an 18-year-old and thinking, wow, I've always wanted to see what Jack Daniels was like. Well, that had an outcome, a good outcome, because I got a song out of it. But
yeah, Chris, you got a good song out of it. Matter of fact, why don't you tell us to do? Let's play that song since you brought it up, and
not to date me, to give you a timeline on this thing. That's back when you could buy a 750 for $9.97, and so it kind of dates the song a little bit, but I'm getting it recorded right now and got it recorded with some very fine musicians, and we've had a lot of good response and fun response with that song as well, too. So, go ahead and spin it if you want. That'd be great.
We'll spin it right now, and I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back and chat more about that song and then find out what you're doing out there in Nashville and some of the other things you're working on. So here
great.
It is. This is Brian Mack, and the song is called Mr. Jack.
Thank you. with my hero, Mr. Jack Daniels' name. When I'm feeling lonesome, I'm bringing me home some. When life has become such a game, just $9.97, take me to heaven and carries me through the day. I just crack open that bottle.
That's a great song, and yeah, don't you wish it would be $9.97 today?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's actually on your CD, your present CD?
That's on my present CD that is called Country Thinking. It's got about 10 songs on it. Northfield, a lot of different songs that are on the thing. It's a lot of fun to put them together and tell a story. I'm just kind of like plagued with that. I can't help it. I wake up 2-3 in the morning and I've got an idea, and I pop out of bed and grab a guitar and a piece of paper and pen, and it all comes in a rush. I had an experience. I wrote a song called Northfield, and it's talking about Northfield, Minnesota, where Jesse James and the Younger Gang attempted a bank robbery, very famous event that happened, but they found out that the Minnesotans, they fight back, and they started shooting back. So, but this song kind of came to me in that half awake, half asleep time.
Right.
And, I got up and I grabbed a pen, and I wrote the whole thing out. The first thing that came was the chorus, and it really was stirring. Well, the funny thing is that I was doing a songwriter night about that time and that week, and I asked the audience if they minded if I try this song out on them. And, I just mentioned Northfield, and everybody just kind of went into a hush. I played the song, and I could hear crickets when I was done. I thought, oh, no. But then it was quite a roar, and I come to find out that a lot of them were school teachers and retirees from Northfield happened to be in that bar.
Huh.
And they came up and they told me that I basically gave that story verbatim. And one of the guys that said he was a history teacher, he said it made the hair stand up on the back of his neck. He had to teach that story every year it came around. And,
wow.
And the thing about that was that I wrote that the anniversary of that event. That was August 26th, and I wrote that. And I've never been to Northfield, so.
Oh, really? So
really,
you actually wrote it on the actual anniversary and didn't even know or had never been there before?
Right, yeah.
Wow.
It really was kind of eerie. I got online. I had to check my facts and to see if the chronological order was right of the event, because it's a ballad and it's a story. And, boy, it just came, nailed the thing. I was really surprised how you know, even the youngers got picked up. Some of them got killed. They killed some town folk that were there. And it's a fun story to tell, but it's a history story as well as a, you know, just a ballad. So, but that's just one of the songs that are on there. And I like to tell stories and even write things that are current, that are people are feeling right now. Like I've got a song, Bills on the Table. And I think everybody can relate to that right now.
Yes,
wondering how
definitely.
Make ends meet, those kinds of things, and, you know, swearing at those darn bills. But, you know, I always like to put a little positive spin on it and saying, well, you know, things are going to get better and that kind of thing. So
I
wrote a
song. You have like 30 or 40 songs right now on paper that you're waiting to record, right?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to be going in the studio here. I've got my producer lined up and studio lined up here in Nashville, which is just – this is actual mecca for a songwriter. This is incredible. The it's in the air of creativity. You just can't imagine the people you come across and the fact that inspirations will hit you all over. I've been looking at this picture of my grandfather and I was about 10 years old, and we were skipping rocks in the San Bernardino Mountains on a lake, and a friend of mine blew this picture up, and so I put it on my wall, and I thought, gosh, I got to write a song about that. It's haunting me, and you know, sometimes a song was going to take its time to come, and
right.
And then this one did, and it hit me that it was related to the times that we're in right now and how we're feeling as a people, and then we long for those times when we were feeling great and feeling good
right.
about ourselves. Had no worries and those kinds of things. So I wrote the song Skipping Rocks with My Grandpa. And even when I just say the title, people are – I can just see it on their faces. They're already going there. They're
yep.
already in their mind's eye. They've got that, yeah, I remember better times, and it was feeling good. So,
well, since you brought that up, in the radio world, in the TV radio world, we call that a segue. Since you're talking about that, I think it'd be appropriate to play that song. I was listening to that last night when you sent it to me, and it does. It brings back memories and of maybe simpler times, and I think everybody
yeah.
can relate to the song. What we'll do is we'll play that song and then come back and chat for a few minutes more and find out where people can get your music and find out what other plans you have in the future there in Nashville. So I'm going to play the song now, which is Skipping Rocks with My Grandpa. And everybody hang tight, and we'll come back and chat with Brian before we close out. And here you go.
Well, I'd like to let you know, too, is that keep in mind, this song is there you go.
Some things just don't seem the same. People looking for someone to blame. Times aren't the way that they used to be. Sometimes you can't hear them talk. Their hearts are kept behind the lock. With violent things I don't want my kids to see. We got YouTube and an iPod now. Paying for it, I wonder how. We gotta have the latest gadget, it seems. But I'm looking for those simpler times, when paying for gas we weren't scraping dimes, and America was a nicer place to be. Skipping rocks with my grandpa, not thinking that we broke the law today. Things that I remember well, the sights, the sounds, the cookie smell are in my memory. Someone just lit off a bomb, a book he read said to his son. 10 people lost their lives yesterday. Why can't we all just get along? The nightly news won't cover it some. When America was a nicer place to be. hit the rocks with my grandpa, not thinking that we broke the law today. Things that I remember well, the sights and sounds, baked cookie smell are in my memory. But oh, those were the days of past. And oh, let's let the good times die. Skipping rocks with my grandpa, not thinking that we broke the law today. Things that I remember well, the sights and sounds, the cooking smell are in my memory.
And that was Brian Mack, and we've got technical difficulties again. That was Brian Mack, and we're having some technical difficulties again. I apologize. Blog Talk Radio does this to us every Saturday morning. That was a great song, Brian.
Oh, thank you much. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you now. So you were getting ready to say something about the song before, but when I started it up, you said it.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to remind everybody that precursed them that was a scratch track, and that one's going into the studio. It'll have all the instrumentation around it, and I've been just kind of playing that out at some of the solo nights and the things we do here in Nashville. And
I kind of like it the way it is.
Kind of bare, yeah.
Kind of simple, and for the simpler times, it's kind of a neat just the guitar and just the scratch sound with nothing else. I kind of like it that way. But that's a great song. Now that one you haven't put on the CD yet, and I guess that's on the plans for your next CD to come out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going to be. Well, how they work now is you're going to have a eight song EP, and longer. Long gone are the long play type of CDs and whatnot. But, it'll be about an eight-song collection, and they're all going to be around this type of sound. And we've been, the producer and I, Bronson Hermuth, and I have been working on laying down how that's going to go to take you through kind of a trip or a melody trip, as it were.
Right.
And so you can visualize it. And I think that albums should be that way, or song collections should be that way. So I really like your input of telling me now keep that as clean as possible. And I think
like
we're
going to
keep it somewhat acoustic and just some things behind it, a little violin or something. But,
now, if people want to buy the CD, the present one, and then one in the future, they can find those where?
On Reverb Nation, or they can contact me, friend up with me if they'd like, on Facebook. We're wide open for that, and we can get them linked to where they can get the tracks and get that going. But we're setting up right now with the new album. It's going to have iTunes and Rhapsody and all the latest craze for getting MP3s out. We'll get that in place.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's an adventure.
And I mentioned to you this is a food show, and we're running short on time here, but you mentioned to me yesterday that you have a song, something about a crock pot.
Oh, a song? Well, I should write one about that. Actually, no, I have one of my favorite recipes, actually, is venison. I took a venison roast and put it in a crock pot with some crushed red peppers and potatoes. But I think the secret ingredient is a stout beer in there, so that venison can soak all that up in there and just let it cook for the day until it falls apart, and It's a wonderful thing. But that writing a song about that one, I think I should do that.
Yeah, you should. You may, when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have one of those visions of a crock pot, and you sit down and just write about the crock pot, call it the crock pot song, and how life is like simmering in a crock pot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. Sometimes I have no control over what comes out, though. I got to tell you that. I can have in mind a song or an idea, but until it's ready to be pulled out of the oven, it doesn't happen. So to use a cooking pun, a lot of times they're just not ready to come out. But when they do, they really come out. And I find I got to be in a place where I'm very relaxed, nothing going on. You know, high bills,
right.
Those kinds of worrying about gas, that stuff. So, and then they flow. So, and it's I just love doing it. I've got piles and piles of songs, and I'm meeting a lot of songwriters here. I host a singer-songwriter night in Nashville. So if anybody comes to Nashville, hook up with me, and we'll get you VIP seats to our songwriters night. And you'll hear a lot of local talent. We do a dollar taco and a dollar beer that same night, so you can't beat $2 in live entertainment.
Well, you might see me graying ideas knocking on your door because you're talking my kind of language, the dollar beers and dollar tacos. So I might be coming to Nashville to check that out.
Yeah, well, I've got a link that I put on my Facebook page, and we videotape all of the performers, and there's just some fantastic singer-songwriters that are here undiscovered and raw talent that's just fantastic. So I definitely urge the listeners to check them out. Make that one of your tour stops when you come to Nashville. You will not find a more easygoing, welcoming people than Tennesseans and Nashvillians. I mean, it's just fantastic. Group of people, other than San Diego, which I totally love.
San Diego's San Diego's not bad either. Well, I appreciate you coming on our show today, and keep us posted with when you get the new CD complete, and have you back on and promote your new CD when you're ready with that.
Will do, will do. Well, thank you very much for having me. That was
thank you.
A lot of fun. I tell you what, I listened to that commercial on Don Pablo Cigars. I'm thinking on calling them up. I really would like to have somebody roll
a cigar
in front of me right there. And
they are great. They are fantastic cigars. So, yeah, check them out, too, because I've been really impressed with their cigars, and they became a sponsor. Matter of fact, this is their first week. So, yeah, check those out. And, Brian, keep us posted, and come see us again when the new CD comes out.
Will do, sir. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you much, Frank. Good.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, and there you go. That's Brian Mack. Check out his music. You can go at Reverb Nation. Also, on our link on our page here, we've got more information about Brian Mack Band. Right there, just click on the link, and that'll take you to information about the band and about Brian and what he's up to. And we'd like to thank everyone again for tuning in to our show again this morning. Come back next week. We've got a Slam Pack show scheduled next Saturday with Smokey D, Benny the Chef, and then we got Chip Wilson, who's a singer from New Orleans, and it should be a great show. Thanks again for everyone for supporting us each week, and I'm going to close out with our closing song, which is, as you guys know, my favorite, ZZ Top, I'm Bad Nationwide. Everyone have a nice weekend, and come see us again next week. Wearing spikes.
lucky strikes and wearing our love suits.